Good morning, Arizona. Why don't y'all come on around back with me here at Rosie on the House and see who's outside today in the landscape and garden. We've got Mr. Greg Peterson, the urban farmer over there.
Hello.
There we go. Welcome to the program this morning, sir.
Thank you.
Well, let's say someone's missed the program before. This is their first time tuning in, and they have not heard you with us before. Give us a little introduction. I would do it for you, but I'd sell you short.
There you go. Well, I live at a place called the Urban Farm in North Central Phoenix. It's a third of an acre, so it's right in the middle of the city. So, you know, when people think farm, they're looking for acres, right? So I always love it when somebody asks me the question, how many acres do you have? It's like, well, I have 14,000 square feet. But on that 14,000 square feet, we have about 80 fruit trees. In fact, it's citrus.
See, that's where I would have sold you short. I'd have put it at like 40.
There you go.
80
fruit trees. Yeah. And citrus is right now. So I actually brought some citrus in for you to test it.
You've got a beautiful variety here.
Yep.
How many different orange trees do you have? Because this is three different oranges you've
got. Yeah, I've got three different oranges, and there's a fourth one in here. So my favorite one is the Caracara navel. And I'm going to have you taste that on air in a little while. And you know, it just explodes in your mouth. And my second favorite is the Trovita orange, which is, it ripens a little later and it peels real nicely and so on and so on. So the Urban Farm is my home. I've been there 27 years and I'd like to call it an environmental showcase home. I open it up periodically for people to come in and take a peek and see what's, you know, see what we're doing there. But really it's a place for people to get educated about what they can do to become more sustainable, and, you know, live more lightly on the planet.
And I know you have a vision of what started this back in the 80s was the idea of being able to get Phoenix to produce all its own food.
Yeah. Yeah. So really my vision is that we create a food secure Phoenix, a place where we can grow a lot or most or why not all of our food here in the valley.
And so from the birth of that, how did you find the property you're on now? Is this an area you grow up in?
Yeah.
Were you seeking out certain conditions for the home? Because I know you're one of those fortunate, you've got, you know, irrigation.
Yeah, flood water. Yeah. So I actually grew up here in the valley. I planted my first garden in 1975 at near 28th Street and Indian School. I planted my first fruit trees around that same time as well. I was 14 back then. So when it came time for me to look for a house, my number one thing on my list was flood water, you know, because it's so easy to, you know, for $80 or $100 a year, water my 80 fruit trees.
Well, and you can, you can stand on a street and when one side's irrigated and the other's not. And I mean,
it makes a huge
You don't need
difference.
To know anything about trees or plants to know which one's irrigated and which one's not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And there's not a lot of those in, I mean, there's a lot, but when you look at ratio wise, what maybe 3-4% of the homes are on irrigation?
Yeah, probably. APS, about 5 years ago, SRP told me they had about 30,000 acres of flood irrigated land in the Phoenix metropolitan area. So,
well, I've never knew that number, about 30,000.
Yeah.
So 80 fruit trees, citrus is in bloom. What's the next one coming up?
Oh, the next one's it's a really, really nice tree. It's called a Pakistani mulberry.
Okay.
It is a female mulberry, so it doesn't put off any pollen. And it puts off these absolutely incredible berries that are about 3 to 4 inches long. Absolutely the best berry I've ever eaten.
And I know you have me sign up for two of those for this year's fruit tree program.
Nice.
So we look forward to.
Yeah.
Now, we'll plant them in January.
Yep.
How long till I get fruit? You know, citrus takes a few years if you're planting them from 5 gallon.
Right.
To get going and producing. And that's about where our orchard is, about 5 years old.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So
nice.
We've got trees that are, we suffered a frost a couple of years ago.
That
kind of
slowed things
back
down. Yeah.
You know, we're getting some produce. How long does a Pakistani mulberry take to start?
Well, they'll go faster. You usually get them in about 2 years, I would guess. What I tell people when they first plant fruit trees, if you plant them really right, and we can talk about that if you want to, but if you plant them really right, it's going to take about 3 years to get fruit.
Okay. And what does it taste like?
Pakistani mulberry?
Yeah. Is it like a blackberry? Is it like a blueberry? Is it like
a... It's like a berry. It's a sweet, flavorful. I have another mulberry in my yard that was planted there, you know, 30 years ago before I ever arrived. And it just tastes like sugar. This one has a nice berry flavor to it. And then after that, in May, we get our stone fruit. So we get the desert gold peach and the Katy apricots. And then in June...
And a peach blooms. That purple bloom. The one peach I have is right out the bathroom window. I can see it.
Nice.
You know, that 1 month in about March-ish, April, where it just... I mean, it stands out in the entire orchard.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite times of the year to see that bloom.
Oh, yeah. Imagine having 20 or 30 of those on your property.
I need some more acres.
Oh, I do too, at a third of an acre.
So then, past, I just interrupted you, stone fruits, and then into July.
So what I tell people about growing fruit in the desert is that you want anything that you're planting that is a soft flesh fruit. You want to have it off of the tree by about July 10th.
Okay.
Otherwise, I've found that the fruit just cooks. Mm. So there are varieties of apples, peaches, apricots that will ripen later in the season, you know, after July 11th. But it's not, you don't get anything off of them because the fruit just cooks on the tree. So what I tell people about soft flesh fruit is May and June and a little bit of July is your harvest time. After that, you know. It's not
horse feed.
Yeah. Yeah. If that, if that. I had one, I had an August peach that I, in my yard a few years ago, and I got golf balls, you know, golf ball sized fruit in August, and they stayed hard as a golf ball. You could probably play golf with them anyways. So the gap between July and September, there's really not a whole lot that's harvested.
There's only so much that can survive that, that extreme heat, but you could jar it and. You could have your peaches all the way through.
Oh, yeah. We still have some peaches left over from last year.
Perfect.
So now then that we froze.
Past our 2 month summer hibernation, we'll call it.
Yeah, there you go. Figs and pomegranates are in the fall.
Okay.
Figs and pomegranates. And then citrus starts about the end of November. And the nice thing about citrus is you get citrus November, December, January, February, March, April, and even into May, depending on the variety. Your Arizona sweet oranges, which are great for squeezing, you know, they're a late season orange. So, you know, you'll get those into the summer even.
You're not going to get 6 months out of one variety.
No.
But if you're strategic in your varieties.
Exactly. So like this pink one here, this is the pink navel that I brought to share with you. It ripens in November, December. And we're just, you know, I'm pulling the last of them off the trees right now. This one here, this is the Trovita orange. It's starting to get ripe now, and it'll be ripe on the tree for about 60 days. And the Trovita orange is a heavy, heavy producer. We'll get hundreds of pounds of Trovita oranges off of one tree. It's amazing.
Now, how do you fertilize your citrus? That's a common subject theme here in the Outdoor Living Hour that comes up. And there's a couple different theories, and none of them are really wrong, I don't think. You've got people that have been doing it both ways for decades, and they've got produce. So there's not really a wrong way, but what's your preferred method?
So for fertilizer, so we're really talking about two things: healthy soil under the tree, and then fertilizing that healthy soil. So for fertilizer, what I tell people is February 15th, April 15th, June 15th. And August 15th. That way you're fertilizing the tree during the time of year that it is growing. And this isn't just for citrus. This is really for any of your fruit trees.
Okay.
Then the other piece of it is, and I get people sending me pictures all the time saying, why are my fruit trees suffering? Why aren't they, you know, doing well? And they planted them in a lawn, in 100% native dirt, or in gravel. And they expect the, you know, expect the poor thing to live. So the biggest thing you can do when you plant the tree is I always suggest at least a 50-50 mix of native soil and organic material like premium potting soil from Western Organics. And then we're also adding worm castings, mycorrhiza, and azomite, rock dust, into the hole with the tree. That's really going to jumpstart your tree. And then the other thing that you want to slash need to do is put at least a 5-foot diameter basin around the tree. with a good 6 inches of mulch in the tree, in the basin.
Now, do you put that mulch all the way up to the bark, or you just plant your tree high and mulch up to that level?
Number two.
Okay. I jumped ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's what we're doing. We're actually putting the tree on a mound in the center and then adding 6 inches of woody mulch around the tree. And the woody mulch, you want to add that, you know, probably once a year. You want to refresh it once a year so that you're continually adding it. And what happens is that at the interface between the dirt and the woody mulch, you start, within a couple, 3 months, you get this really, really incredible soil that starts building, and the life shows up in the soil, and you get worms. In fact, I was on a farm recently, and they said 5 years ago we had dirt, and we started adding organic material, and now we have worms. They just showed up, and they do that. It is amazing how they do that.
It's amazing how those potato or tomato worms.
Oh, yeah.
Plant a tomato tree. Hornworms before. You plant a tomato. The hornworms there. How do they do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're just there.
They're just there. Well, if you'd like to join the conversation with Mr. Greg Peterson, the urban farmer, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Or you can text questions in to 411-923. We've been talking a lot about fruit trees and getting started on that. Now's a great time if you want to get planted and starting. We've got the annual fruit tree sale coming up.
Yep. Well, that's it. And here's the thing. I have a fruit tree education program. It's my fruit tree program. And I've designed it so that the trees come in exactly when you're supposed to plant your trees. So the deciduous trees come in January and the citrus trees come in February and March. And my experience over 41 years shows that the best time to plant these trees is January, February, and March, and no other time.